Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
Hello, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Greeting to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is my joy to continue with you the study on revealing the truth about Islam in the light of revealing the truth about the Quran. When we ask the question, why Islam calls for death of Islamic critics and apostates, Muslims will insist that our information is false. And they will quote to us the verse from the Quran, to you, your religion, and to me, my religion. When we say Islam spread with the sword, Muslims will say that is not true. That is a big lie spread by the Jews and others, and that the Quran clearly says there is no compulsion in religion. And if we quote any violence of verses from the Quran, Muslims accuse us of quoting verses in bits and pieces and cherry picking. In other words, Muslims will say that we are taking all these verses out of context. And if we quote a full verses and verses before and after, they insist that the translation we're reading from is wrong. If we bring a different translation, they will say correct meanings can be understood only by reading the Quran in Arabic language. And believe it or not, if I read the Quran in the Arabic language, most American Muslims will tell me they do not understand Arabic. We have a problem. The problem is the level of ignorance among Muslims. Even when I speak to Muslims who speak Arabic, most Muslims from the Middle East, those who understand the Arabic language, when I talk to them about the Quran and I show them verses in the Quran teach hate, they will reply to me by telling me, well, I'm not a Muslim scholar. I'm just a simple Muslim man. I'm just a simple Muslim woman. I do not know the answer for your question, and I don't know how to respond to your accusation to my Quran, to my Prophet Muhammad, and we go literally in an empty circle. On the other hand, Muslims in the West read from the Quran some nice verses. Not really verses teach love or peace, but soft verses. This is what we call the early Mecki verses of the Quran. We immediately respond to them by telling them that these verses are abrogated. In response, Muslims will tell us, there is no such thing as abrogation in the Quran. You're just making a lie. Allah's word is not abrogated. And we say, really? What about the verses in the Quran which Allah clearly teaching it that he have verses abrogate other verses in the Quran? Then I will take my Muslim friends to the Quran and show them that abrogation is true. All what Muhammad quoted and all what Muhammad said in his early days when he lived in Mecca is abrogated verses. If there are new verses written in Medina in the last 10 years of Muhammad's life, teach the opposite of the previous Mecki verses. And the proof is very simple. We just open the Quran. In chapter 2, verse 106, what Allah said in the Quran, whatever verse we abrogate or cause it to be forgotten, we bring a better verse than it or like it. One more time. Allah in the Quran says what? Whatever verse we abrogate. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, my dear Muslim listeners, there is abrogation. Allah in the Quran in chapter 2, verse 106, tell us clearly, he does abrogate verses. So you cannot say there is no abrogation in the Quran because the Quran says whatever verse we abrogate or cause it to be forgotten, we, Allah, bring a better verse than it or like. It's amazing how Muslims can read such a verse in the Quran and do not see anything wrong with it. For the Quran tells us there are better verses or there are equal verses. Allah exchange the verses of the Quran by it. If the Quran is the perfect word of Allah, if the Quran is the true word of Allah, the God of Islam, and Allah said none can change his word, will Allah change his own word in the Quran? What do we mean by abrogation? So here is the interpretation of Ibn Kathir, the great Muslim scholar, to abrogation. The removal of a verse. So Allah will remove a verse completely out of the Quran, or the exchange of a verse with another newer verse. So Allah will remove a verse from the Quran or exchange a verse in the Quran by a newer verse, and both verses still exist in the Quran. Or to make something lawful which was unlawful, or vice versa. Which means something in the Quran Allah said you could not do, but now Allah changed his mind and he said you can do. Or something in the Quran was unlawful, you could not do, and Allah now said you can do. That is Ibn Kathir interpretation to the word abrogation. If you notice, my dear brothers and sisters, in the Quran there are so many chapters which are called Makki chapter, because that is the place where Muhammad wrote these chapters, and that's all what Muhammad claimed to receive as a revelation from Angel Jibreel when he lived in Mecca in the first 13 years between the age of 40 and the age of 53. And he have only few followers, who obviously were a minority. Example of Makki chapter in the Quran, like chapter 1 is Makki, chapter 6 is Makki, chapter 7 is Makki, chapter 10 is Makki, and so on. But there are also Madini chapter in the Quran, which obviously Muhammad wrote in the last 9 years of his life, that is between the age of 54 and the age of 62, as he lived during these years in the city of Medina. And that's what we call Madini chapter, or Madini verses. During these years, Muhammad became a militant man. He has so many followers, he has many fighters, and he changed his style of writing from a peaceful man to a warrior, a fighter, and he united all the people who believed in him to attack, to kill, to fight. These, what we call the Medini verses, or the Medini chapter. You can see this, in, for example, in chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 8, and chapter 9. And so on until you get to the end of the chapters of the Quran, the 114th chapter. The order of the writing of the chapters of the Quran is very strange, is very weird. When you ask Muslims why the Quran is put in such order, they will tell you, it is both small to big concerning the size of the chapter. But that is not true. Why? Because we do have so many chapters, small between two big chapters, or chapters are big between two small chapters. Chapter 1 only have 6 verses. Chapter 2, 286 verses. And chapter 3, 200 verses. Where is this order? It is not small to big. It is not also according to the order which Muhammad claimed to receive such revelation. For chapter 1 was not the first chapter Muhammad received. And chapter 9 in the Quran is the last chapter Muhammad claimed to receive from Angel Jibreel. So it is very weird, strange order. Sometimes you see, even in early chapters of the Quran, Makki chapter, Muhammad have insert early verses later in it. So you see, some Muslim scholar will tell you chapter 6 is a Makki chapter, except verses, and they will give you different verses, which obviously they said these verses Muhammad received later when he lived in Medina. Another important fact we know about Muhammad's writing of the Quran, he copied so many of the stories of the Bible and he put it throughout the Quran. And when you read the stories of the Bible in the Quran, Muhammad has never followed the order of the historical events as it is written in the Bible. For we know from the Bible that the story of creation of the universe begins first, and after that creation of Adam and Eve, after that the story of Noah, after that the story of Abraham and his children, until we get to Moses, the Exodus, and so on and so on. But in the stories of the Quran, Muhammad continued to repeat the stories of the Bible, and it's amazing. Every chapter in the Quran, he puts the stories in different order. Sometimes he begins with Noah and ends with Adam. Sometimes he begins with Adam and ends with Abraham. Sometimes he begins with Moses and ends with Jonah. And it is very strange order. Obviously, I believe deep in my heart, Muhammad did not know who came first and who came second. Especially when you read some of the verses of the Quran and Muhammad just list the name of the prophets. It is a very strange and weird order. For example, in Quran chapter 6, verses 84, 85, and 86, and we granted, Allah said, and we granted to him Isaac and Jacob, and guided both. And Noah, we guided before, and among his descendants, David, and Solomon, and Job, and Joseph, and Moses, and Aaron. And likewise, we reward the doers of good. And Zechariah, and Yahya, John the Baptist, and Isa, he meant Jesus, and Elias, he meant Elisha, all were from the good. And Ishmael, and Elias, he meant Elijah, and Yunus, he meant Jonah, and Lot, and we prefer all those above the worlds. What a wonderful cocktail of names. What order did Muhammad use in such verses? It is the most obvious error in the Quran. It is a wonderful chaos.
In our short time together here on Revealing the Truth About Islam, we can only cover a portion of all that we would like to share. Please take a few moments today and visit our website at www.thestraightway.org to find more information about the Straight Way of Grace Ministry and the darkness of Islam. Our website has several links to many resources for further study, including a detailed listing of the many seminars we offer on DVD. Topics include, is the Quran infallible? Has the Bible been corrupted? The treatment of women in Islam? Muhammad or Christ? What the Quran teaches about Jesus? And many more. Have you always wanted to read what the Quran actually teaches, but didn't know which translation to trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the many violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After several years of research and networking with scholars around the world, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry has recently offered the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever published. Filled with study notes to the reader and a careful comparison of key passages of the Quran and the Bible, this translation will arm you with the knowledge you need in reaching those lost in the darkness of Islam. Please take a few moments today and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org for all these resources and more. And now, back to our show.
One may say, what is the problem of having verses written in Mecca and having verses written in Medina? Early days of Muhammad being a prophet and late days of Muhammad be a prophet. They're all the word of Allah. They're all the words, the revelation which Muhammad received from Angel Jibreel. No, my dear brothers and sisters. There are so many verses which written in the early days of Muhammad when he claimed to be a prophet contradict, teach the opposite of that which is written in the late days of Muhammad writing in Medina. So how Muslim scholars reconcile this problem? The reconciliation of such problem can present it here in the doctrine of abrogation, which in it they will tell you the late Medina verses automatically abrogate the early Mecca verses if it teach the opposite message. Therefore, Muslim scholar claim that there is no contradiction in the Quran. There is no corruption in the Quran. It is the perfect word of Allah. It's just what we have here that Allah changed his mind concerning so many issues between the days when Muhammad lived in Mecca and the last days of Muhammad when he lived in Medina. And the Medina verses supersede, abrogate, take over the early verses of Mecca. Muslims do not practice, Muslims do not believe in the early Mecca verses if it contradicts any of the teaching of the late Medina verses. Now we need to ask the question, how many chapters in the Quran contain abrogation? You'll be surprised to discover that the answer is 71 chapter. Over 60% of the Quran include abrogation. That is verses we can read in the Quran. Allah changed his mind and he gave a newer verses to supersede such a teaching. 71 chapter in the Quran include abrogation. And a good example for that, if you go to chapter 9, verse 5, chapter 9, verse 5, which known by all Muslim scholars, the verse of the sword. This one verse alone abrogate 124 verses in the Quran. And these are the verses which Muslims quote to you here in the West from the Quran. They are reciting to the Western verses in the Quran, and they know for sure that Allah changed his mind about. Allah no longer wants them to practice such verses. But that is the only way for Muslims in the West to present their religion, to be acceptable. They are quoting from their book the verses which Allah abrogate, cancel, erased, remove, so they can represent themselves to be a loving, peaceful religion. And believe me, my dear brothers and sisters, if you look carefully to all these verses they quote to you, it does not teach love. It does not teach peace. There is not one verse in the Quran where Allah or Muhammad command Muslim to love or to live in peace with some Jew or some Christian or some atheist. Period. It is verses with simple message, like, to you your religion and to me my religion. Or, I do not worship what you worship and you do not worship what I worship. Or, no compulsion in religion, which we will talk about it more in depth lately. How many type of abrogation do we have in the Quran? How many type of abrogation? There are three type of abrogation. First, when the verse is removed, the original text and its commands no longer exist. Allah causes this verse to be forgotten. It's amazing when you think about why Allah gives the verses to Muhammad, and then few weeks or few months later, then he causes Muhammad and his followers not to remember these verses, and he no longer wants the Muslim to practice its commands and practice its teaching. A very good example for that, one time a man was reciting the Quran to his wife. Reciting the Quran is to read it out loud in the poetry setting as it is written in the Quran. So the man was reciting the Quran and he said, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. And that's the opening statement which exists in every chapter in the Quran except chapter 9. And the statement said, in the name of Allah, the merciful, the merciful. And then the man said, and he could not remember the first verse of this chapter. This man got upset because this man worked hard to memorize these verses of the Quran, but he could no longer remember it. So his wife told him, calm down, honey. Tomorrow when you go to the mosque, meet with the Apostle of Allah or other Muslim believers, and they will remind you of these verses which you forgot. When this man went to the mosque in the following day, he found a bunch of men there in the mosque. And as he sat and talked with them, he explained to them that he have a problem, that he forgot these verses of whatever chapter he used to memorize. And the men said, we have the same problem. We all can no longer remember these verses. Then when the Apostle of Allah Muhammad himself came to the men and they explained to him the situation, he said, calm down. And he sat and he started reciting the same verses. So Muhammad himself said, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, in the name of Allah, the merciful, the merciful. And Muhammad could not remember the verses himself. Wow, it is a miraculous thing. It is a wonderful thing. I mean, it is a strange thing. So what did Muhammad do? He waited for Angel Jibreel. And after Angel Jibreel came to Muhammad, he told him that these verses, which Muhammad forgot, which other men forgot, It is Allah, Allah's will. It was Allah's command that they will forget these verses. And Jibreel told Muhammad, there is no worry about it. Allah caused this verse to be forgotten, and Muslims no longer have to practice whatever commands, whatever teachings was in it. This is the first type of abrogation. The second type of abrogation, that is when the verse exists in the Quran but is no longer practiced. Why? Because it has been replaced with a newer verses. That is when you open the Quran and you read verses which teach specific commands, and Muslim will tell you, we no longer practice this verse because Allah replaced these verses with new command, new verses. Sometimes it is the opposite of what it used to be taught in these verses. The command of Allah, the new command of Allah, teaches the opposite of what used to be written in the early verses. A good example for this type of abrogation can be found in verse 101 in chapter 16 in the Quran, when Allah said, and if we exchange one verse in a place of another verse, and Allah knows what he sent down. Allah here is telling Muhammad, I'm going to change some verses of the Quran by another verse of the Quran. I know what I sent down. I am in charge of my word. And the Quran is filled with many verses to support such teaching, that Allah changed his mind. Allah gave commands to abrogate, to cancel, to erase early commands and early verses he gave in the Quran. And when we meet next time, we will be showing all these verses to you. And that is alone is a great evidence, a great proof that the Quran is not the word of God.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.